brings down all the
Agreed.
others. So either one should be enough. Okay. So where did we get up to? I think we're about to start contact lenses. So, contact lenses, tricky, Shyla. So we already introduced this a bit. Oh, first of all, one last paragraph. So I just mentioned that at the end of Shear, we're talking about washing the bottle nipples or the pacifiers or the like. So what I said was if your Mako, like the Orlizione, or for that matter, what Rav Moshe thinks is the Iker HaDin, so then it's going to be mutter in both cases, the tablecloth and the pacifier. If you're machmir and you say no, that plastic has to be treated like soft leather, so you should be machmir by both, like Rav Elyashiv. But what I didn't understand was this pshara of being machmir. So either it's a pshara that's rooted in the mitzvah that pacifiers are less absorbent. I'm not sure how that makes that much sense because I don't think tablecloths are particularly absorbent. It could be rooted in the kpeda, which is that people are more machbit about dirt, absorb dirt in a plastic tablecloth than they are in a pacifier. I'm not sure if that mitzvah makes that much sense either. The only possible way I could explain it, it just seems to me, I'm not sure if this is what he had in mind. We'll see. Actually, there are some poskim who suggest this for contacts that maybe kibbutz is only for clothing, not for kalim. Not to say, now, clothing are also kalim, but plastic tablecloth is sort of in place of a cloth tablecloth, and which is something that's laundered. Let's say a person has a leather cup, soft leather cup. Okay, you know, like those camping cups that fold up and you put away. Okay, that's their. So would we say it's usher to wash it with the dishes? So I would have thought, yeah, why not? There is a achron, a posig, and we'll see. We're going to quote him. It's called the Minchas Ish. I don't know much about it. Rabbi Zilberman pointed this out to me. But he says that the reason why he thinks it's okay for contact lenses is because they're kalim, they're not clothing. In other words, we don't just go by the level of absorbency, but there's no iser to wash kalim. The difference between why you're allowed to wash your dishes and not allowed to wash your clothing. So I thought that's because your dishes are non-absorbent and your clothing are absorbent. He says no. It's because I guess one is kibbutz and one is, I don't know, rechitza and nikayon, something like that. And therefore he says that yeah, nachanami, if you would have leather dishes, soft leather dishes, you could wash them. And that's why he thinks that contacts are okay. We might have said contacts are also clothing. Contacts are a replacement of glasses, so you can wash your glasses. Dish plastic tablecloths are a replacement of cloth tablecloths, so you can. Anyway, to me, that whole approach was very surprising. But anyway, that would explain perhaps why you think a pacifier or a baby bottle is different than the placemat. As I said, when he brought the raya from the leather cup, and my reaction was sort of arveich arvabai. Who says that you could wash leather cups? He took that for granted. So it's an interesting way of thinking, which I guess needs further eon and the like. Okay, so on to contact lenses. As we said before, contact lenses are a shylock because at least the modern soft absorbent lenses are absorbent. Again, that's at least what the research. There's, as I mentioned, the first really person I think to deal with this issue is Rabbi Rubin in an essay that's written in the back of the Orchos Shabbos Volume 1. I think it was originally published elsewhere. And he sort of was the one who was mayor, that there's a Shiloh over here. Nobody realized it was a Shiloh beforehand because the older types of contacts were non-observant. So the question is, are you allowed to soak your contacts? If you don't soak your contacts in liquid, they will shrivel up. So Friday night, you're going to sleep. You don't have the disposable ones, so you want to put them in the solution. And the shaila is that mutter? So Rav Reuben basically makes the following argument. He says, since these are absorbent, they should be treated like cloth. In other words, what's the difference between cloth and soft leather? Cloth is more absorbent, soft leather is less absorbent. That's not obvious, but he takes for granted that's true. In fact, some people who are matir, the contact lenses, argue that no, that's not the difference. That if you were to make lots of holes, porous soft leather that was very absorbent, it would still be permissible to do Shriya. But Rav Reuben, which I think is the more pashut shot, says no, that the difference between cloth and soft leather is that soft leather is less absorbent. So he says, therefore, these contact lenses, which are very absorbent, should be treated like cloth. And that's why it's usher to soak them. And then he says, even if you're going to say no, they should be treated like soft leather, like we said before at the end of Shir yesterday, that many achronim treat plastic like soft leather. It should still be aser because here you're using soap. Now, what does that mean? Again, we mentioned this before, that standard contact solution does three things, as far as I could tell. I warn everyone, I've never worn contacts before, so I hope I'm not misrepresenting, but this is what my research indicated. So number one, that the contact solution does is disinfection. This is very important because let's say you have monthly contacts. So you don't want bacteria growing in your contact lenses, then that's very bad for your eyes. And so there's, I don't know, whatever things that would get rid of those types of things. L'chora, that's not a halachic issue. Whether the bacteria is absorbed or unabsorbed or the like, I don't think disinfection is, you know, like you could use a Purell on Shabbos. You don't have to worry about disinfection. Number two is cleaning dust particles and the like. This is also probably not a problem. Why? Because these dust particles are on the surface. It's just like cleaning my regular glasses, right? My glasses, as is the norm, are pretty dirty, right? But nobody's going to ask for me cleaning my glasses. Why, there's dust over here and other stuff. No, that's just on the surface. And the pashup shot is, as we said before, there's no kibbutz when we're talking about surface dirt, like the Mishnah Berurah says, feathers are on your shirt and the like. We'll have to figure out in the next sugya is that so pashut. But for now, I'm going to take for granted that surface particles and surface dirt are not an issue. That's why you can wash your dishes. And if the only dirt that was on your contacts were surface dirt, it would be okay. So what is the problem? There are protein deposits and fungus. Proteins come from your tears. Now, remarkably, this has not been studied, the degree to which these protein deposits and fungus is absorbed into the matrix of the contact lenses. There's an article about this in the journal that Rabbi Zilberman also showed me, and he has in the end of this letters that he got from different people, including a world's expert on contact cleaning solution. And he writes in the letter that yes, this solution cleans the protein deposits and fungus that's absorbed in the matrix of the contacts. And then he writes, all this is the way we think it works, but nobody's ever bothered to figure this out. Apparently, if you're not Jewish, you don't really care about the degree to which these proteins get absorbed into the matrix of the contact lenses or not. But The assumption is if somebody wants to, do some research, by all means, they could write a journal article. It'll make a lot of people happy. Could like, these are one of these conversations that everybody got really into, and it's died out for a couple of years. But if somebody like can do some new research, you're gonna bring it back to a Shulchan Malachim. Anyway, so the assumption that we're going to go with, even though it is an assumption. Now, it's important that's an assumption. We're not sure, which is why we're going to see Rabbi Willig thinks maybe it's out to be Mekel, Suffik Psik Resha, because we don't actually know, and we're Mesupik, and it's a Derabanan Shaila, perhaps for reasons we'll see later. So that's something to keep in mind. But we're going to now go for the assumption that. With the assumption that there is actually proteins and fungus and maybe lipids and other things that are absorbed and are being cleaned out by this cleansing solution. And therefore, we have a shiloh. That's what we have. That's really our shiloh. Yes.
Different than disinfecting. I assume that disinfecting, the reason that disinfecting is that it's not visible. So.
So good question. So now, a tzad to be mekel is exactly what you're saying. I can't see it, right? And that's absolutely right. If you go ahead and you look at a contact that's been worn all day long, and you compare it to one that's fresh out of the cleaning solution, with the naked eye, you probably could not tell the difference. I tried this, I couldn't tell the difference. So maybe. The argument you're making is a very good argument. And indeed, we will see that there are those that make this argument. But here's why I don't think it's Pashut. There's two objections. Number one is that they point out this I didn't experiment on, but this is what they said, that if you didn't wash your contacts for several days, then they would be noticeably cloudy. In other words, it's true that after one day, there's not enough dirt to see it. But does that mean it's not shaykh to kibbutz? Let's give an example. Is there kibbutz for most of my dirty laundry, meaning to say used laundry, I wash, even though it's not noticeably dirty? And we still assume, presumably, maybe you'll deny it, right? When we talked about the Ri, we wondered, would the Ri think that you're chayiv if you can't see it? But I'm assuming now that no, you are chayev. And therefore, over here, since you're getting rid of absorbed dirt, even though you can't absorb the dirt, see the dirt. So just like with your laundry is actually dirtier. And after you wear it for a day. And again, it's actually the same thing. If you wear the same undershirt for a week, it's going to look pretty dirty. It might be true, though, after one day's worth, there's not enough dirt to be noticeable to the naked eye. That might be true. But we would still say you're chayiv because there is dirt here. And it's dirt that, if there was a sufficient amount, it would be noticeable. And therefore, you're chayiv for kibbutz. How is that different than bacteria? So, no matter how much bacteria there is, you couldn't see it. Bacteria is there. You're simply trying. I don't even know if you're getting rid of the bacteria or you're just killing it. I don't know what happens when you disinfect. It could be you don't even get rid of it. It's like when you use Purell on your hands, right? It's still there. It's just dead. So that does not. It's not ritzicha and it's not kibbutz. But dirt is. So that is why the argument you're making isn't pashut. Yes.
In terms of laundry not being noticeable, it's not noticeable with your eyes, but it's noticeable with your nose.
Okay,
It still smells better.
so that's a shaila. Is that enough? In other words, could be what you're saying is correct, and it could be what you're saying is incorrect. It could be that it's only that what's koveya is the eyes. So that's a good question. We discussed that when we discussed the Ri before. Would the Ri say that you're chaya for freshening up? In other words, the Ri says that if I walk for a whole day, and at the end of a day's walk, I go into the river, I've not violated Shri'aso Zehu Kibuso. Even though I imagine that my shirt might be a bit sweaty and smelly after a day's walking in the sun, And there's going to be a shachrus habeged, as the Rosh says, and still it comes out less smelly, and it's still mutter. So the tzad to be makel is actually going to be that. The tzad to be makel over here is going to say, okay, zalzayin, it's like cloth, but we paskin like the reed. Now it's true the Mishnah Berurah said mikra din you should be masmer, but at least if there are other tzaddim lahakel. So we could be someone on the re, and you get the impression that the Mishnah Berurah really mikra din thought we could follow the re, and therefore even if you're going to treat this as cloth, since it seems like it's clean, it's aser. What's the counter argument? The counter argument is very simple. Maybe the re would be modeh if I'm mechaveh to clean, like we considered. In other words, over here would the re really be matir? So first of all, the re might only be matir shriya. But okay, so here all we need to do is Shriya. We even though sometimes when people put their contacts in, they do some minor rubbing or shifshuf, they're like, okay, so don't do that. But still, it's a Shaila Shriya. But the question is, would the Ri be Machmir if you're Mechavein Lekibus, even though it's clean? As what would the Ri say? Maybe the Ri is only Matir walking through the river because it's only Shriya and there's no stains. And so it doesn't become noticeably cleaner. But if you're mechavein, in other words, I have my dirty clothing and I put them in the water, but dirty meaning say unstained used clothing, right? And I put them into water with kavana to clean, but I don't do anything besides Shriya. Is that a violation? So that the Machmirim, by the context, say that's exactly what you're doing over here. And therefore, the Ri would be Machmir. That's not clear, as we talked about before when we saw the Ri. But that's it's sad to be Machmir. Yes,
It
Jack.
doesn't smell better after I put it in the water. So if I walk around for a day and put water and I come out, it's fine to me. It doesn't make it smell any better. It's like doing laundry without detergent. Please don't wash
Laundry
it.
without detergent will not smell as much. It's not going to be as clean. If you do laundry without detergent, you're sure it won't be as clean as if you did detergent, but they won't smell, or they certainly won't smell as bad. It's effective. If you didn't have detergent, you could still do laundry. Well, you'll get something done. It's not as effective. And moreover, in this case, in the contacts, there is the equivalent of detergent. There is this cleansing agent. And that's why the Rav Reuben writes, and Rav Eliashiv agreed to the second point, as you saw from your tshuva that I gave you to Maamar Komos, that even if you're going to say no, it's still going to be like leather. It's not going to be like cloth. The fact that it's absorbent doesn't make it like cloth. So it'll be like leather. But even though we're matir shriya by leather, maybe that's just shriya in plain water. But if it's in soapy water, who says it's mutter? Maybe it would be aser. Now, we don't really have a riot aser, but we don't have a riot mutter. And Rav Eliashiv says it's mustaber that it should be mutter. It should be aser. Or at least we can't extrapolate. And therefore, when it comes to soft leather, you could not put it in soapy water, certainly with kavana to clean. And likewise, when it comes to putting these contacts into the lens solution, which is equivalent to soapy water because it has some type of cleansing agent, that too should be aser. Yes, Gabe.
Just to clarify, there's two separate svaras to make it, meaning the Ri is saying even if it is near line, if there's no actual kesem, and it's just like that book that's then Shriya is
That we know,
and
right?
then
That's
the second
uncontested.
svara is
Well, one
to
second. Is that
say
that's uncontested, correct?
right.
Good. The question is, how would we apply that to contacts? There's two svaros. Why to argue that even according to the Ri, contacts might still be a problem? Number one, maybe the Ri is only matir when you don't have kavana to clean. You have kavana to go to the Rabbi's house, right? But here you have kavana to clean. Dechia number two is maybe it's different here because there's soap.
In terms of the second svara to make was like what Eitan was saying, that it's not even Mikra Anin.
Right, there is no cleaning. I mean, I think that that's sort of based off of the Ri. That's what I think I'm understanding your eitan was saying that, look, lemaisa, just like you're willing to be matir the disinfection, so too you should be able to be matir the cleansing. Because either way, there's nothing that's noticeably different. And yes, it might be true that in a molecular level, things have been cleaned, but who cares? We don't care. The halacha only is concerned about things that are nicker lion. The difficulty that I said with that was that if so, A, right, in a couple of days, so it is, it's not yet noticeably different, but the dirt here that's being cleaned is dirt that could eventually become nicker lion. And B, if we really took the argument to its extreme, then it would be mutter to launder all clothing that wasn't visibly dirty. Now, maybe the answer to that is in a hanami. That is one way to go. When I was talking to Rabbi Sabalowski about this, with him about this, it's a funny story. Why? I mean, I oftentimes talk to Sabalowski in learning, not that frequently, but here, when my daughter first got contacts, first person in my family to get contacts. So I told her that she shouldn't wear them Friday night, or she shouldn't wear, I told her that she shouldn't put them in solution. So if she wants to, she should wear them Shabbos day and not wear them Friday night, I think is what I told her. So her first response was, but Blima said it's okay. By which she meant Blima Sabalowski. So then I had to ask her Sabalowski about it. It's her classmate. So usually, you know, when it comes to what they learn in Hilchos Halacha class in school, Blima's father and Ruchama's father are on the same page. But here there was a difference. So anyway, Rabbi Sabalowski, one of the arguments he was making was that it's that the re, he thought that the re is in a chinami. He would be matir clean clothing, meaning to say laundering, certainly shriya, and maybe even laundering clean clothing. The way Rabbi Sabalowski put it was the re holds that the definition of melachas kippos is not freshening up. Freshening up, dehainu, non-visible dirt. So if the kippos is only addressing non-visible dirt, freshening up, and especially if it's just shriya, so then that's not the malacha. And therefore, since this is Eitan's argument, since tachlis, there's no visible dirt, then it's mutter, according to the read. It doesn't matter what your kavana is.
Yes, it's true.
I think so. But again, here there might be other factors, but yes. That was one argument. And there are others that say that. There is an Avnei Nezer and a Shulchan Aruch HaRav who do sort of sound that way. So the Avnei Nezer is Simen Kuf Nun Tes. It's Os Tes and Yud. And he writes like this. Shitas Harbe Poskim Huvu Birama Simen Shin Bei Sif Tes. The Dafka B'Shiesh Alav Lich Loch Aminan Shriyasu Zeo Kibuso Dumya Dehais Alav Lashlashes. So that's the Re. Uvetosis Yeshanim Perkhas Diyuma, Biru Yoser, Didafka Echadeka, Tipas Dam, Lichloch, Avalecha Shabeged Shachor, Machmas Shanilbash, O Shayalava Magamre, Veinbo Shum Tinof, Ala Shenitzrach Lilabain Adayan, Laminan Shriyasu Zel Kibuso, Farashzal Perkhas Diyuma, Bier Yoser, Vizelishono, Avalima Beged Hushkar, Machmas Lavisha, Otashmish, V'kol shekein lav and lagamrei, ela shirotzel no yoser, lo armina shriyaso zeo kibuso. Hinei mevuar birash, dafilu rotzel no yoser, lo armina shriyaso zeo kibuso. Oh. So that is based off of this Avnei Nezer, l'chora, we could argue that it's mutter. Yeah, even if we're going to say that in this case, rotzel no yoser, but lemaisa, there's no visible dirt. So then, lo aminan shriyasu zeo kibuso. Then he writes, ach b'sefer truma pasak, v'zeh lashono, So we have here a machlokas between the Sefer Truma and the Rash. V'chein ha-Beis Yosef, but he writes that the Beis Yosef is hatik de v'ya Rash. Oh, sorry, I skipped. When the Beis Yosef brings down the Rash, dileg tevas ala sherotza lalavno. Here we see why you always have to look up the Rishonim inside. Don't trust the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef left out the most important words of the Rash. Moreover, the Rama himself brings down the Machlirim. Anyway, it goes back and forth. As I said, he quotes Shulchan Aruch Rav. He, we think, is Mekel. Shulchan Aruch Rav, it's in the Kuntras Acharon that Libun is Tali and Chazusa. Anytime you can't see it, it's Mutter. He brings a fascinating Raya. Not the most obvious Raya, but the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Yantif, Tuf Kuf Nun. Shulchan Aruch is Sif Hei, Mishnah Brura, Chaf Vav writes that under certain circumstances it's mutter to do Hagala on Yantif. So you're purging it of Blios. So I would have said, okay, but it's a Kli. But says the Avnei Nezer, no, because since it's talking about absorbed particles, so it's a Shaila of Kibos. So why should it be mutter to do Hagala? It must be that we only care about visible dirt. And blios have yet to be observed. That's one of the great mysteries of kashrus. The problem with Hilchos kashrus is they've also yet to been tasted, but that's a different issue. So blios are invisible, right? When you kasher a pot, it doesn't look any cleaner after you've kashered it than before you've kashered it. So we see from here that in other words, as opposed to that svar that we said at the beginning, that kelim aren't shayach to kibos, right? The great Chassidish Poskim, Avnei Nezer, Shulchan Aruch Rav, they're saying no, it's nothing to do with kelim. If there was absorbed dirt that is now being cleansed when you wash your dishes, it would be usher to wash your dishes. And therefore, since Hagala relates to absorbed dirt, right? So it should be asr to do Hagala on Yantif. And yet it's mutter to do Hagala on Yantif. And that's because it's cleaning absorbed invisible dirt. And that's why it's mutter. And so therefore you see that all Liban are kibos, at least all we really need is for the Shriya stage. So we don't have to say more than that. All Shriyasos Eukibus, if you follow the Ri, as understood by the Rosh, it is only Usser when we're dealing with visible dirt. In other words, Rabbi Sobolowski's argument that freshening up is not Usser. So the Avnei Nezer is Moda that it's a Machlokas. And like you pointed out, Meir, the Mishnah Brura seems to be choshesh for the Mordechai's field, Mordechai's version of the Ri. But the Rush's version of the Ri, and maybe you could even argue the Beis Yosef is Machmir, because the Beis Yosef omitted that line. However, the Avnei Nezer thinks, no, the correct version of the Ri that we accept, at least Mikra Adin, is that there's no Isser, even when you're Mechavein, if you don't see it. And Rav Yoshev, if you saw it, does refer to this Shulchan Aruch Rav as well in his Tshuva. Yes?
Isn't there room to argue both authorities? Because for number one, Avnei Nezer, it's not clear that Lo Avnei Yosef is the same as removing invisible dirt. Maybe Lo Avnei Yosef means it's perfectly clean, but I want to make a shiny.
Yeah, I'd say two things. Number one, when we go to the next part of the sugya, we'll see shortly that it may be that making something whiter is kibbutz. Adarabba, that makes things worse. But I assume that, yes, you could argue with that. But he's saying that I think the easier argument is adrabba, it's a kal v'chomer. If lelav no yoser, which is visible, is mutter. So kal v'chomer, where there's no visible change, it should be mutter. I think that's the argument that's being made.
Unless that's not kalkibus, you're not removing it.
Yeah, but how do you know you're not removing it? What makes it brighter? It's true. And how does the fire do it also? And shaking it and polishing it and the like. But yeah, in a chanami, I hear what you're saying. To say a little pushback on that, blios is actual cleaning. In other words, blios are not magical, right? We sort of think of them as magical because we don't really notice them, but they're real. These are absorbed particles. They impart taste. They're real. They're not magical. They're dirt. They're affect dirt, which, you know, they're microscopic dirt, which affects halacha, fine, but it's still dirt.
I'm saying what makes them bad is halacha. So I wouldn't care about being there, about them being there, about the din. So they're not, it's not bad that they're there.
Okay, fine. Yeah, so you're saying it's like the Aryehuda Rav Elazar.
Right.
Yeah, you could say that. Yes.
Even on the tzaddik context, like a beggar, so then your enemy relying on the reef, and if you say freshening up isn't us or part of the reef, so it would be much even with a cleansing solution. But on the tzaddik context of a din of leather, then using cleansing solution would be us or part of the top, and using only saline solution would be much or part of the top.
Assuming Rabbeinu Tam rejects the re, we don't know Rabbeinu Tam, we don't know what he would say about leather. Now that we know that you're allowed to do shri on leather.
Right, but
who says Rabbeinu Tam would be machmir when you're machavin lachabes or when you put in soap?
What's the time to be machmir? If it's leather, the Rosh Hashanah said if it's leather, if you even had a din of leather using
yes, solution, that is his assertion.
And that's both according. Would that be both according to the Re and Rabbeinu Tam?
Well, it's according to his version of the Re because he thinks that any time you're machavin to clean, that's a problem. Okay. So there are a lot of tzadim lakan ulakan, and a lot of unclarity in the Metzius as well. Like if you look at Rabbi Bleich's article, which is in volume 5, he argues, I think you could also get it on Sefaria, of contemporary halacha questions, but you could get it on Sefaria. He thinks, again, he sort of takes it as pashat, that there's no absorbed dirt that's being cleaned. I don't know how he knows it. He just asserted it. But that seems to be somewhat debated in the Metzius without any clear hachra, which, like I said, that is why maybe we could argue that it's a suffek Sikresha in an Isser Dirabanan. Figure out why it's an Isser Dirabanan. But if you think it's an Isser Dirabanan, so then it could be a Safik Sikresha. One of the things that Rav Elyashiv says in his Tshuva L'Achmir is the very fact that people are makbid about it shows that it should be a problem. So to this, you could say back, no, that people are makbid about it only because of the disinfection. In other words, that's really what people are worried about. If you read the like warnings, so what's dangerous is not disinfecting. It happens to be that you can't really get a product that disinfects but doesn't clean. I spoke to an optometrist about that. Do they have such a thing? That would be very exciting. So they do, but it's this really weird product that if you don't use it properly, you have to, you're like, you could blind yourself. It's very dangerous. I don't want to use that stuff. So therefore, what should you do? Is there an eitzah if you want to, if you're a machmir? So what's advised, what the Orchel Shabbos says is you should wash it off, wash your contacts Friday afternoon before Shabbos, so they're clean. And then use saline solution. What's saline solution? Saline solution is just water. It doesn't have any cleanser in it, nor disinfectant. So it doesn't have any cleanser in it. So, and therefore he says, look, since it's barely dirty, because it's only, been 4 or 5 hours since the beginning of Shabbos, and you're not using cleanser, so that svara that he said by leather isn't true. And you're not really makbid because it's basically not dirty. So therefore, and you shouldn't be meshafshef, just put it in, therefore it's okay. You can't just use water because something that ruins the context, it has the wrong pH, I don't know exactly. So you need saline solution. Now, as I said before, if you look on the warning labels, they say this is dangerous to do because there's no disinfectant in saline solution. From the doctors I've spoken to, they said if you do this once a week, it's not dangerous. You shouldn't do it always, but for once a week, it's okay. And my daughter asked me that, Shaila. I told her she should wear glasses after the first day since I didn't know. But, I'm not, you have to ask your local Orthodox doctor. So I think she tries to save up like her when she switches the monthlies for Yontif, so that way she could throw it out after a day. So anyway, now you could ask, like, do I really need to wash it out before shot? Like, that's what Rabbi Bleich in his article raises that question. He says, like, so, like, if you wear it for 4 hours, it's okay, but you wear it for 12 hours, it's a problem. Like, why are you drawing the line? I think that's a good point. In other words, I think if you use saline solution, then it's okay. If you're using saline solution, then certainly if it's treated like leather, it would be okay. And here there's no indication you're mechaben for cleaning because there's no cleanser. Adarabba, the only thing that you're trying to do is to prevent them from shriveling up. And if you don't put them in saline solution, they'll shrivel up. So you're not mechaven for cleaning. And therefore, Pashtus says it's going to be mutter for the re, even if they're treated like cloth. And certainly, if they're treated like soft leather, since there's no soap in here and you're doing nothing but shriya, then it's okay. And again, there's no visible dirt and the like, plus the other tzaddikim. Yes.
Why are we willing to be made on some of the meaning? What's our other side to get over the hump?
All the other tzaddikim that we said, meaning to say, first of all, this isn't cloth, it's plastic. And we don't even know if there's any shaila of kibbutz in the first place, because maybe there is no absorbed dirt. And it's a chiddush to say just because it's absorbent, it's treated like cloth. And so there are many other additional tzaddikim. Like we said, you can make a very strong case that it's heter gamor, even if it's cleanser. So that's what I recommend. I'm not sure it's usser, but it's an it's not hard to be machmir, and it's sad to be mekel isn't so pashut. Yes.
Why was the Rebbe Mekabel there? Or it's a must be said that based on the nature.
Because I don't think so. It's not so pashut that that is either the correct explanation of the re, if we accept the re, and we accept that explanation of the re, meaning to say, as the Avnei Nezer himself points out, to machlokas we shown him what the re held, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to be machmir, and maybe even the Beis Yosef is machmir in the sense that he omits that crucial line from the Rush. So it's not a pashut tzad. I definitely wouldn't say it's wrong, and I think it is a shita, but it wasn't. It's not obvious shita, and also, like I said, it's better to when you do this not to. You shouldn't be mishaf sheif. Just put it in and take it out. Yes, Gabe.
So tell us, what math there in the diagrams?
I think so. That's my impression. Yes.
And
yeah.
It's for Willie. So the fact that we're not sure that there's dirt?
There's not sure if there's absorbed dirt, which is being cleaned through the solution.
And why does that mean things that
no, I'm not saying it's wrong. Because, first of all, if we're dealing with a d'oraisa shayla, then we would be mafmir in a safek psik resha, because it's a safek d'oraisa. And this is a psik resha d'nichalai. So it's not so pasha. I didn't say it's wrong. I'm just, it's not, it isn't easy. It's not a pasha kula. And so here we have, pretty easy solution.
But Lloyd thinks that it's only a superabundant, or he just.
I think he must be assuming, if he's being makel, because I think it's a suffix secretion, he's assuming it's derabanan. That's the kula.
Why?
Probably because it's plastic. I would guess. We should verify this, that. Okay, yes.
If people ask us this, Shaila, should there be any concern of the sakana component of someone who uses saline solution? Because even though it's true what the doctors say, that if you really use it once every 7 days, it's not a sakana, but is there a concern that people aren't so careful about the way they keep their solutions? And once you're
I think you should definitely, there's a couple of things. Number one is you should make sure that you don't take achrayas or anything scientific or medical or the like, because you're not a scientist or the like. You tell them that when I spoke to Dr. So-and-so, this is what they told me. But you should tell them that I'm not, they should feel, they should do their own medical research and not rely on you. The chash of getting mixed up, I don't know. I mean, I think you could leave it up to them. If you think that there's they're the type of people to get confused, then fine. It's not like a hard thing to, the bottle says saline solution and the other one says contact solution. It's not so hard.
I feel like most people who wouldn't have learned sugya won't be so cognizant of
but then there's
solutions in their bathroom.
So you tell them to them. I mean, are you worried about people going to the pharmacy? The saline solution is right next to the contact solution also. It looks the same, shaped bottle.
No, I'd be worried about them in their own home.
No, I'm saying so, but I don't know. If you think that's a concern, then you should take that into account. Yes. I wouldn't think that for most people that's a concern. If you explain it to them, but if you think it's a concern, then yes, you should take it into account. Yes.
If the doctors were to say that it's not safe to use the saline solution,
maybe that's what I originally told my daughter until I got enough confirmation from doctors. But I don't know. Maybe I don't think it's crazy to be mako, especially because once there's not another option, then in a sense it becomes a little more mutter. The fact that I could use saline and I choose to use cleanser might indicate I'm machaving for cleaning. But since there's no alternative, so then I could say it's Baal Karchi. Okay. Fine. More to say, but I think we should go on, especially since nobody here has contacts. Okay.
I did.
Oh, you have contacts?
Very, very.
Well, now we know why. This is yet another reason not to wear contacts. Okay. Kavod Shabbos. Okay. Fine. So, maybe we're going to skip this. I was going to talk about Mesechta Din Hazaisa, which is long and confusing, and we're late. So we'll skip it. Take a look at the Tosfos and the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef. Okay. So let's talk, and we talked about Shechita Seyar. Fine. Let's talk about Mishnah. Kuf Mem Vav Mem Beis. Mishnashu Kelav B'Derech Mahalich B'Han Ve'Eino Choshesh. So what's the Chiddush? Why that I get I'm walking and I fall into the river or whatever. It starts raining and my clothing are soaked. What's the Havamina that I can't continue to walk? So Rashi and Beitza says that the Chiddush is that we're not worried that I'm going to hang them up. And we'll see that's also because of Marisayan and the like. Maybe if I, it's basically my assigned concern. Maybe if I'm walking in wet clothing, people will think I laundered them or something like that. That is, right, Rashi says, Mahalich Bahen, Vehain, second. Can't read them. Vehain misnagvin. So you don't have to worry about chashad. That's the Havamina. The Rambam writes that you don't have to worry about schita, right? It's also Misha Rachatz Bamayim, Mahalich Bahen, Vein Choshishin Shama Yeschot. So we're not worried that you will do schita. Okay. It's interesting, Shaila, that I saw in the Dirshu notes, also in Orcha Shabbos. What about if it's a psik resha that there's going to be schita, like socks? You know, like when it's a lot of rain outside and your shoes, especially if your shoes have holes in them, like every step you take, squish, squish, squish. So it's probably a psik resha de lo nichale in an issa de rabbanan, it's klach ha-yad and the like. Okay, maybe not so pashut for Rebbe Willig. It's all. Though it's not clear that this chita would be a chita of kibbutz anyway, but I saw that there are many who are makel on this. It's Shin Aleph Dirshu Note 111, but they quoted that I think the stipler was makbid on Yom Kippur. The stipler, of course, would not wear shoes on Yom Kippur, so he would walk out in the socks. So and as well, I guess it's less of an issue. It's not likely to rain, but when the stipler was in Russia still or something like that. So he was makbid, he was choshesh that for schita in his socks if they got wet, because every time it's a psik resha, every time you step down, the absorbed liquid would squeeze out. Okay, it is derech lech loch. So, but who says that's hatter for schita? Maybe it's only hatter for shriya.
How does it be more color than the derech?
Well, they're both derech potentially. And I assume, I don't know if that was his chashash, or maybe he was assuming that no, that the absorbed water was dirty. And then when you press down, especially if you got it inside, so then the dirty water is being pushed out, nischat outwards. I think this is a maybe even this stipler only did it b'tar sumra. Yes.
There are like other stories where the stipend did things that are not the halacha, just to put you off.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's b'tarschum. It's hard to know from even if it's firsthand knowledge that he was machmir. It's hard to know to what degree it was a chumra and what and shash medina. Okay, fine. So anyway, the Mordechai has a third interpretation. He says, and we actually referred to this Mordechai yesterday, that it's aser to be metaltel wet clothing, shema yischot. So now it's very mistaber why there's a chiddush here in the Mishnah that you're still allowed to walk in them, even though they're basically otherwise would be muksa. And this was the Mordechai that we said there's a problem last time because he proves that. Towel that wet clothing or muksa from the Mishnah by Aluntis. We don't paskin like that. And again, but that was it. And the Magen Avraham was miyashiv that Aluntis is different based off of the Rashba. Al kopanim, that's the Mishnah. Good. So you're allowed to walk. Now, we're not worried Xer Shem. So now, why is it mutter? especially if you hold in the Mordechai, that wet clothing are mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkatan Kuf Samach Beis, is two svaros. Number one is you can't be machmir because what else are you going to do? You're going to take off your clothing? It just rained outside. You're going to undress? Kavanah Brios. Okay, fine. In other words, we could be makel for Kavanah Brios if it's certainly an Issur D'Rabbanan. Then he says another svara, which is maybe they weren't gozer on clothing that you're wearing. In other words, if you take them off, that's when clothing are muksa, if they're wet. But once you're wearing them, they weren't gozer. The nafkamina would be if you have another set of clothing. So the Mishnah Berurah is no to lahakel on the shaila. And he says, yeah, even if you do have another set of clean, dry clothing, you don't have to take them off and change. In other words, we're not just making a kosefot of rios. Once you take them off, then yeah, in achanami, they would be muksa. But you could lo gazru ki agavna when you're wearing them and they got wet. Okay, fine. Yes?
Is there any sort of tilde on the side of the body?
That's an interesting child. He's saying, anyway, it would be total bagufo, right? Let's say there was tiltle that wouldn't be bagufo, like it's a scarf and you want to wrap it around your neck because it's, or take your hat and pull it down because it's pouring outside or whatever. So you don't even have to avoid that. Now, there's a different fascinating Mishnah Berurah, which we're not going to get into now, but it's just an interesting point. The Mishnah Berurah in Simon Shinchas, Sifkat and Samach Gimel writes that since the Mordechai says that wet clothing are muksa, like we said, Xeva Shema Yischot, so if something was wet at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains muksa the whole of Shabbos. Migu diskatzai. This is Maisim B'chol Yom, right? Let's say I hang up my shirts. I realize I'm running out of clothing. I do a last minute laundry. My shirt's hanging up. At the beginning of Shabbos, my shirt's all wet. So even if it dries, Shabbos morning, it's already dry. I want to wear the shirt. Aser, migu diskatzai. Why is that so surprising? L'chora, this should be classic Gamru B'dei Adam, which we say isn't muksa, because it's only the Lis Yabesh, right? Like if you make your chalan kedera chaisa, beginning of Shabbos, this food is inedible. It's hard beans and raw meat. But for that matter, the Gemara's example is it's super hot and inedible. So we say no. It's Gamru B'dei Adam, and it's not muksa. So same thing over here. So this is dealt with by the Dirshu, note 89. A number of Achronim say, Al Karchecha, when the Mishnah Berurah was machmir, must meant that it was so wet, there was no expectation that it was going to dry out. Or, alternatively, Rav Yashiv says, I think it's against Tosos, so I'm not sure, not holding enough, that Gamru Bidei Adam isn't true for Muksa Machmas Isser. In other words, in the cases of muksa that I gave you, it's a very hot pot or raw food or things like that. But if it's here where it's aser machmas chash schita, so then we don't say gamri adam. Okay, al kopanim, that is the din. So now, yeah.
Something very common. I think I've looked at it before, so I'm just confirming this correct. But many times it happens that, put something in a jar before Shabbos, wanting it to dry before Shabbos, and Shabbos comes in and it's not completely dry yet, then you leave it hanging at the beginning of Shabbos. In such a case, it's usually not to fair on Nas Latvia, in which case.
I would think then, why should, yeah, then everybody should be Mako. Right. I would think so. Okay. So now, you made it back into town, and now you want to hang up your clothing. So the Mishnah says, no, Va'asar. And it's aser. You can't hang them up on your clothesline. Why? Because people will think you laundered. Okay. And now the Beis Yosef, the Rishonim point out, this is only this Mars Ayin is only if you are hanging them up on Shabbos, meaning to say, if I had clothing left on my clothesline from before Shabbos, then I don't have to take those down before Shabbos. Why? Because anybody reasonable sees it will say, okay, you did laundry on Friday. That's normal. Maybe it's Usher, but maybe did on Thursday. So, so presumably the problem is people will see me hanging it up and they'll say, oh, I did the laundry on Shabbos. Fine. So I'm not allowed to hang it up. And then, now, first of all, there's an interesting point here. This is that Mordechai that we talked about before. The Mordechai says it's dafka shotchan b'chama, that's mutter, but not by the fire. Why not? Because of Bishul. Namely, if you put it by the fire, then there is a concern that the fire will heat the water up that's absorbed inside the clothing to be out to let us bow, and that's a violation of Bishul. Remember, the Mordechai learned that out from the Shadas Sichsa La Sunnah. The Bir Halacha in Shin Beis was wondering why it's also not a problem in the Malabein if you put it by the fire, because somehow or another, fire has the capacity to be Malabein. Agav, I think this is one of Rosh Shlomo Zalman's rayas. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, why do you have to worry that it's going to be cooked in the sun? It could also reach out to lettuce bow if you hang it in the sun. So, and that's normal, right? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, oh, you see a raya that I'm right, that it's not taloi in what's normal. You need a fire to be chayav mishum bishul against Rav Moshe. But I don't know if it's such a raya, because while it might be true that it's normal to hang clothing out, it's not normal to kick water through hanging your clothing out. In other words, with kavana for bishul. But anyway, that's his raya. Yeah.
Is it obvious that the Mordechai is being mad now for water that's absorbed?
Because to what? Where else is the bishul?
Maybe that the bag itself is softening, like by
you're cooking the clothing.
Yeah.
I think if you look it up, it's clear that, and that's the dimyon to Shadas Sichsa Lasuna. In other words, over there, there has the stick, the moist stick has absorbed liquid, which, and this is the same thing. I don't think there's bishul on clothing. You're saying maybe there is? Let's look back. That was, I think that's what it said, but maybe I don't, maybe I, that was my own interpretation. Okay, good. Fine. So then the Gemara says that even though the Mishnah said it was okay to hang it up as long as you're doing it in private where nobody could see you, shalok negaram, but there are those who, they're Tanayim that argue aser even in chadre chadarim. As they say, anything that's aser befarhesia, mishamar sayin, is also aser bechadre chadarim. Do we paskin like that or do we paskin like the Stam Mishnah? So this is a machlokas. Rabbeinu Nisim Gon was Makel. He said, we pass on like the Stam Mishnah. And the Stam Mishnah is not like Rav. However, most Rishonim paskin lochumran nishayla. And that's the way we paskin, that if it's aser b'farhesia mishamar sayin, it's also aser b'chadrei chadar. The problem is that there's a couple of places in Shas where we don't seem to be worried about chadrei chadar. So one of them is the Gemara, Ksubos and Daf Samech. It says over there, you're gutter got plugged up and it's a problem. It's going to make a leak in your house or something like that. So mimacha beraglo, you could sort of kick it, clear the obstruction. Beino choshesh, but it has to be betzina. Can't do it in a way that people will see. So what do you see? That we see that sometimes we say you can't do it where people will see, but if people don't see, it's mutter. We don't assume that if it's aser befarhesia, it's aser betzina. Another kasha, the Gemara says that you shouldn't take your cow wearing a bell into public area like the Rishus HaRabim or the like. Why? Because people will be choshish that you're bringing it out to sell. That's apparently what they did when they sold their livestock. But in your own private property, it's okay. Again, why? Why don't we say it's aser b'chadrei chadar? So this question is asked by the Rishonim, and we have two approaches, the Tosos and the Ran. Tosos and Ksubo says that we're only machmir by Maris Ayin when it would be an Isser de Oraisa. So now, in the case of the hanging out the clothing to dry, what would people be choshesh? They'd be choshesh that I laundered it. Laundering your clothing is an Isser de Oraisa, and therefore you can't hang the clothing out to dry, even b'chadre chadarim. But the other two concerns, those would be, even if they saw me and they suspected me of doing this, would be an Isser Derabanan. Why should that make a difference? Still Marzayin. So I assume the pshat is, and we'll see, maybe, that Chadre Chadarim is like a gzera. So if it's an Isser Derabanan, it's like a gzera l'gzera. Okay, that's what he says. The Ran has a very lumdish answer. This is based on Hayamad Aleph Badapi Arif and Beitza. And he says no. That the concern for Mars Ayin is that they will suspect me of doing something wrong. But in the case, let's say, of the clogged gutter, what I'm doing is right. I'll just read it to you. Dikshakhoshtin oso bedavar she'ilo aso avid isura bahachi dafil chadichadar masar shahol kolach asulam v'naflu kelev mayim. Aval hecha shechoshtin oso shesovim shehu ose iser v'eno ose oso v'chiyagavna b'tzinashari. Meaning to say, you're allowed to, b'makom hefzid, clear your gutter. So what do they think? They think I'm clearing my gutter. And is it mutter to clean your gutter? Yes. So there's no Isser of Ma'aseh Ayin. Whereas, in the case of the laundry, what do they think? They think I did laundry. Is it mutter to do laundry? No, it's Isser to do laundry. That's his difference. In other words, they're choshed that he's doing something that, and obviously they think it's Isser, but in fact, it's mutter. What they see, what they suspect me of doing is, in fact, 100% mutter. And that's why it's mutter. So those are two different answers. Now, the shaila is, so the shaila really comes back to that gemara by the bell. That's against Shabbos, Samach, Dalet, and Beis. So the bell should be okay for Tostos, right? Because selling on Shabbos is an Isser D'Rabbanan. So therefore, it shouldn't be subject to the rules of Chadrei Chadarim. The problem is that the Gemara over there compares it to the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about Marzayin by Kibbutz. So that doesn't work. So for the Ran, it's okay. Because over there, the Isser that they suspect me of doing is in fact Isser. You're not allowed to sell on Shabbos. But for Tosfos, it's Shver. So the Magen Avraham over here by us, Shin Aleph Sefkata Nun Vav, says that for Tosfos, you'd be forced to say it's a Machlokas HaPoskim, a Machlokas HaSugyas, and we Paskin like the Sugya in Ksubos. Rabbi Kiva Eger by us says no, that must be that the concern over there isn't that they're going to suspect you of selling, according to Tosfos, but rather Hotsa'a, that you're going to be in violation of Shvisas Behemto because the animal is carrying the bell, which is a masa. So that's his beer. And I once heard, since we're talking about Sobolewski today, a shiur from Rabbi Sobolewski on Marzayin. So he had a good answer to this question, which is a fascinating point. He said, no, maybe the pshat is for Tosfos selling is in the Isser D'Oraisa, like the Ramban by Shvisa. What does that mean? So it's true. To sell one thing on Shabbos is in the Isser D'Rabbanan, Gzeir Mishum Ksiva, let's say. But let's say I go to work. Well, I go to work. And I don't do nothing but Isser D'Rabbanan the whole day. That's a Isser violation of Shvisa. So not maybe it's not a lav, but it's a Din D'Oraisa. So that would be the pshat. Since they're choshesh, and he's going to the marketplace and selling his stuff, that's the pshat for Tosfos. I'll call upon him. I guess we'll stop here. And b'siyata d'shmaya, unless you want to daven mincha, we have minyan. Did anybody daven? Does everybody want to daven? Everything okay? It's okay. I'll finish in 5 minutes. Good. So so that is that. Oh, so how do we paskin? How do we paskin on the shaila? So the beer halacha. Ah, so one more interesting point. In Yoredeya, so it says that if you're having meat and almond milk, so you should put some like almond shells. So is it not to make it marsayin? But if it's chicken, it's okay. That's the Ramah, Simen Pei Zayin, Sif Gimel. You don't need it for chicken because chicken and milk is only an Isser D'Rabbanan. Fine. Asks the Shach, well, who ever heard of this idea that there's an Nomar's Ein for Minister Durabanan? And he proves from two places, including the Gemara and Shabbos by the bell, that you see that there's an Isser Durabanan even for Maris. I mean, there's an Isser Mas Ein even for an Isser Durabanan. So that's his Kasha. So what's the Teretz for the Ramah? So the Pislei Tshuva over there answers that, no, the Pshat is here, we're talking about Chadre Chadar. You're in your own kitchen and you're having chicken with almond milk. So that's okay. Because we paskin like Tosfos. At least here we see the Ramah is paskining like Tosfos. That there's no din of Chadri Chadarim for Nisad Rabbanan. So therefore for Basar, Of Bechalav, it's okay. Basar Behema Bechalav, it would be Asr. And that's why you need to put the Simanim of the nuts or whatever, the shells. Fine. Rav Moshe actually has a different Yishuv for the Ramah. He says that there's only a din of Mars Ayin Bechadri Chadarim for Shabbos. Both rayas that the Shach brings are from Shabbos. And Shabbos is a more chamor din, even if you're Machal Shabbos and Issa D'Rabbanan, you're considered a mumar. It's an interesting approach. But we'll have to get back to that. Good. So we have this din of not hanging up your clothing because of Maris Ayin, and we pass in L'chumra that it's even B'chad V'chadar. So here's the very practical question. A couple of practical questions. Number one, what if my clothing is only slightly wet? So, for example, I took a shower Erev Shabbos and my towel is damp, not so wet, and I'm in a rush because it's Erev Shabbos, so I just dump it on the floor and I run out to Mincha. And so now I come back Friday night and my wet towel is still on the floor. It's not so nice. I want to hang it up. Is it mutter to hang up that towel on the towel rack? So it's only slightly wet. So is that going to be mutter? So the Magen Avraham, Shin Aleph, Nunhei, is no to lahako. He says that there's no concern you're going to do schita because it's only slightly wet. And not only that, he brings a riot. According to the Ri, you're even allowed to put a little bit of water onto clothing, right? So obviously it's not going to become not a problem to hang it up. Magen Avraham notes this seems to contradict the Shulchan Aruch, though. In Sif Mem Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch says that you can't hang up sweaty clothing. And presumably sweaty clothing is only slightly wet. So even though the Magen Avraham thinks hanging up damp clothing should be mutter, but he notes, Shulchan Aruch seems to be machmir, but it doesn't sound like the Ha'ara notwithstanding, he stays with his leniency. I guess you could be mukim that when it says you could hang up sweaty clothing, you can't hang up sweaty clothing. It's like you just went jogging in the summer. It's like mamish, sometimes it's mamish dripping. But slightly wet clothing, damp clothing, the Magen Avraham seems to be mekel. However, the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan, Kuf Samach Gimel, is nota lahachmir. Maybe there's no raya from the Ri. In that case, there's no Maris Ayin. You're just putting some water on it. Oh, fine. So what's the halacha? So therefore, l'chaira, if you follow the Mishnah Berurah, it would be aser to hang up that towel that's damp. Unless you think that there's no Maris Ayin because nobody would suspect me. If I did launder my towel, I wouldn't hang it up in my bathroom. I would hang it up maybe in my clothing rack. That's when it's usher. So here's the big shiloh over here. The big shiloh here is there a low plug? Or do we say, in the event that nobody would ever suspect me of having laundered this by my hanging up, it's mutter. As we say a low plug in the sense of it being us or even b'chadre chadarim, but maybe that just means in my laundry room in my house, I can't hang it up even though there's no windows. But what about if nobody would be suspicious? So you really get mixed messages from the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah sometimes seems to say it's a low plug and sometimes seems to say it's not. For example, the Mishnah Berurah rules that this din is true even if your clothing got usher in the rain. This is Mishnah Berurah Siman Kuf Samach Aleph. It seems to actually be a machlokas Rashi Tosis about this question, but the Mishnah Berurah is machmir. So what does that mean? It's pouring outside, right? Everybody knows it's pouring. I still can't hang up my my wet coat, my wet suit jacket. But why? Nobody would suspect me of doing laundry. Everybody know it's right. Bishlama, according to Tosfos, we could just say, yeah, this is when like I fall in the river. So then nobody else, you know, people see me hanging out my clothing. They're going to think I must have laundered them. But over here, it's pouring. Who is going to think that I laundered them? Everybody knows it's pouring outside. And still, the Mishnah Berurah is masmir. So maybe that tells me it's a low plug. On the other hand, the Mishnah Berurah clears about diapers. And the Mishnah Berurah says like this. In those days, they had cloth diapers. So the baby dirtied the diaper. So are you allowed to hang it up? But not launder it, just, you know, so it doesn't get more dirty or smelly or wet. So he says, yeah, it's okay, because it's always mochiach halav. He says, well, what about if there's just meraglaim on the diaper? It's not. A little bit of meraglaim in the center of the diaper. Is it mutter to hang it up? So the Mishnah Berurah is somewhat unsure about this, but in the end of the day, he's mekel. Why? Because everybody knows babies urinate. So anyone who sees me hanging up this cloth diaper, nobody reasonable is going to suspect that I laundered it, because everybody knows babies go through 5 diapers every Shabbos. Who would suspect me of having laundered it? So what do you see from there? It's not a low plug. Right? In a case where the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah is HaKol Yodim, everybody would know that I didn't launder it, it's mutter. So why are we masmir by the rain? It's also HaKol Yodim. Unless Mishnah Berurah thinks it's not HaKol Yodim, I don't know. So the Mishnah Berurah is somewhat unclear. But at the end of the day, I guess he is Mako when it's HaKol Yodim. In other words, it seems like he doesn't have an unequivocal low plug. Along similar lines, Rav Moshe, Rav Avadia seem to be nota that it's mutter to hang up a clothing. This is Arachayim, Chelak Hesim, and Yodchas, that if you have like a dry clean only coat. Pashut shebegadim she'en darkam l'chabsem. Mutter l'shtalach k'shenaflu l'mayim, o shenaflu alav harbe g'shamim. So you got, come inside, and my trench coat is all dripping with rain. Am I allowed to hang it up? So the answer is, Rav Moshe says, yeah. Why? I don't know. My trench coat is probably like 30 years old, 25 years old. I've never washed it once. I could be it's dry clean only, but probably even if it's not dry clean only, nobody ever launders this type of thing. It's ein darkam l'chabsam, and therefore there's no mar sign. So again, what Rav Moshe is basically saying is that if HaKol Yodim, it's mutter, just like the Mishnah Berurah says, by diapers. At the same time, it's only something that nobody ever washes. In other words, even though it's Naflu Alav Harbe Gshamim, again, I assume if it's raining for me, it's raining for other people, right? Then he's not willing to be Megal. In other words, I don't know, if you come in with your shirt that's soaking wet, even though it's pouring outside, he's machmir. So again, it's a little strange to me because we're sort of paskining a half low plug. But basically what the poskim are makelin is if it's a type of thing where no chance anyone would suspect you, so then it's mutter. But otherwise it's aser. So I don't know, when it's raining outside and we come inside, so I hang up my clothing on the hooks, but I tell my kids that they should leave theirs on the floor. Why? They're very happy about that, of course. Because their coats are cleaned. Several times a year, my wife cleans at least the little kids' clothing, coats, because they get all dirty there. So they wash their clothes. So Rav Moshe's kula doesn't really apply. Again, is it so logical? I'm not sure it's so logical. I think also you could argue that according to the Mishnah Berurah's Mako by the diapers, it should be mutter to hang up a towel in my bathroom. Because if you laundered your towel, you wouldn't hang it up to dry in the bathroom, you would hang it up to dry in the laundry room. Not so sure it's true. Maybe you don't have room in the laundry room. So I would be machmir there. I think there you could be Mako because you could be somewhere funny magana vrambachi agavna. But if your towel is mamish drenched, like you shouldn't hang up your, if your shirt gets wet in the rain, you shouldn't hang it up even in your bathroom, I think. So again, it's not so pashut. You could argue that these cases are mutter because a kol yodim is mutter, but lemaisa sounds like we should be machmir, except if it's a very clear case of hakol yodim. Yes.
What does the shodcha mean? Like really speak of hanging up, or the laying it flat on the on
no, that's okay. Where are you supposed to? Nah, I don't think so. You never, anytime you did laundry, you wouldn't, you hang it. Any, if you just put it on the, hang it on the floor, put it on the full bath floor. I don't think that's the shodcha. Yeah. You have to worry about Bishel. It's on the radiator. Okay. Fine. We'll stop here. Sorry for going extra. And all we really have left is stain removal, which may take us the whole time next time, but hopefully we'll have a chance to start Sobeya.